Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Finally, a topic I know a lot about. I know about people breaking up with me. I'm an expert on that. I'd be divorced now if I hadn't married an extremely stubborn woman. She stayed married to me, I'm sure, just out of spite, to make sure she's going to line me out one day. So I know all about it. And I tell you, though, talking about breakups, talking about hard circumstances and trying to recover from a broken heart, it's a thing that I want to talk about carefully with all of you, because I don't want to appear to make light of it. I don't want to appear to act as though I don't care. I think sometimes when we get into a preachery mode, we start saying, well, you know, you just got to get over it, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you know, just don't think what you're thinking, and then you won't have no problems. You know, that's not the kind of a message that I want to give to you today. I want to be down in this and help you deal with it. Let's start with this verse. This is Paul talking about all this stuff that he's trying to get right. And he says, I have not yet received all these things. I have not yet been made perfect. But I move on to take hold of what Christ Jesus took hold of me for. He says, I move on. That moving on part is the part that we struggle with here. Moving on. For some of us, we're stuck needing to move on and ain't moved on in 20 years. Move on. Everybody you know has told you, why don't you just move on? No part of your brain is accepting that idea. I ain't going to move on. I'm going to, you know, like Matt was talking about, she's my world. I ain't moving on. We have that way of being dug in on what we're dealing with. What Jesus is trying to tell us with this message of moving on through the Philippians 3 here is that we have to face what we're dealing with and move past it. Now, here's the problem that we have. We do not do it in that order. We say, I'm going to move past it, then I'll face it later after it's already fixed. Probably be a lot easier to face it that way. We have this, I don't know, I talk to a lot of people, you know, they're going through breakups or hard times, marriage broke down or whatever the thing is, and they'll say, you know what I'm going to do? Big plan, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a bunch of flowers. And then I'm going to go over there, I'm going to say a bunch of words and things, and then maybe she'll take me back. And you say, well, yeah, okay, but if she takes you back, what's it going to be then? Well, I don't know. Right. But wait a second. What you're trying to say is, let me just get this back, and then, you know, everything will be the same. So won't that mean that she'll break up with you again on the next go-around? Now, how is this progress? But it's as if he wants to do the right thing before he even figures out what the wrong thing was that he did that got him in the mess. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. How are we going to fix a problem that you're not even looking at? And this is a problem I have. I'm going to talk about me now. If it works for you, then beautiful. Here's what I'm trying to say is I have spent my whole life trying to not pay attention to my problems. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly right. I'm not alone, am I? Let me tell you what. I don't know if y'all know this, but if you have a problem you don't want to deal with, it's a fact that if you drink enough alcohol, you won't notice. Some of y'all are shocked at this information. You could just keep drinking, and eventually you don't even feel that you have any problems at all. And you think, now I've found the magic solution. Let's just do this, you know. And well, then that wears off, and then you say, well, maybe if I went out to the club, then I wouldn't have to pay attention to my problems for a little while longer. Maybe if I smoked something, or maybe if I did this thing to make money, if I occupied myself with all this other drama, maybe I get to a point where I never really face up to and deal with my thing. I realized I had, by the time I was grown, you understand me, again, I'm pointing the finger at myself, I realized I had spent years of my life never facing who I was and what I was doing. Yeah. Never. I'm not trying to say I never tried to do anything right. I tried to fix my messes and do whatever, but I tried to do it without even paying any attention at all to what I was doing wrong and what was wrong with me. So forget about any hope of having a good relationship if you're me in that situation. You can see what I'm saying here. But the thing that I had to understand about myself is that I could live with the truth. See, my thought is, because the reason why I was drinking and partying and all that was truth. Truth would come at me. I'd say, "Now I don't, and no, thank you." Then I'd drink, and then that would be fine. Truth would go away. And now that's more like it. So now it got to the point where any amount of truth came anywhere near me, and I already have the bottle ready, just to, you kind of have it, you know, in a flask or something, quick draw. You could just immediately access it. Yeah, you develop a whole system if you need to, you know, to make sure you don't go, that any truth, because the truth can hit you anytime, y'all. Okay? It'll strike when you least suspect it. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all feel what I'm saying here now. But the thing that I'm trying to tell you about is I started thinking that truth must be so deadly and overwhelming and dangerous and will just kill you, because otherwise why am I doing this to myself to avoid it? Here's what I discovered. That truth won't kill you. It will be hard. It will be unpleasant. You are not good in relationships. You do things wrong. That information did not kill you. That's it. That's all. That's the whole thing. There ain't anything else to it. You have ways about you. Some of it is the way you're raised with. Some of it's you just being a knucklehead. Some of it's you not paying attention to what you're doing. Whatever it is, you do wrong stuff. I do wrong stuff. We're human beings. We're imperfect. We make mistakes. That information did not destroy any of us in this place. It did not just crush us and we didn't crumble into the ground. We don't need to medicate ourselves against that, do we? Okay, then. Maybe I'm talking to an exceptionally strong group of people here, but I think that we have to recognize if I can live with this truth, then I don't need to avoid it at all anymore. Tell me the truth. Let me receive the truth. Maybe I could do something about it, for heaven's sake. The evidence is all around me. I'm a screw-up, so why don't I just go ahead and embrace that truth, you know? The Christian life is about moving forward. Paul says, I move on. If I could tell you anything about walking this Christian walk, it's moving on, moving forward. Keep one foot going in front of the other. We have this mentality, and believe me, people, when they're going through breakups, the God gets brought into that all of a sudden, doesn't he? I don't know how many times I've heard this. You know, God hates divorce. What? Now, apparently God doesn't mind being shut out for the first however many weeks and months and years of this marriage, but he hates divorce. I've never heard anybody quote that verse to me except for they have been awful in this relationship to them, and they've been awful to the other one. And now, but God hates divorce. God hates everything about this foolish activity you've been having with each other all along. And we don't know anything about that. We ain't asked him about it at all. If we had him consulting on what activity we were having here, we'd be having breakthroughs left, right, and center. You know, we would have unity and harmony and joy and peace and togetherness and harmony. But what we have now is a situation where God isn't anywhere in that. But now we're going to bring God in to say, you have to put up with me. That's in the Bible. See what I'm saying? Look, God hadn't been brought into this all this time. He's been shut out for the, you know, from the very beginning of this thing. Now we're going to bring him in just to say, you got to put up with me. Everything about this realization of going through this breakup is that we have to make room for God in our lives and make sure that God is number one. Now, I don't know if you've had this experience, but before I met my wife, I had a relationship with a gal, and we were getting serious. We thought maybe this could end in marriage one day, and we were dating and all that kind of stuff. And what happened was, I said to her, let's start praying about going to the next level and whatever. And she wasn't so sure about that, and she ended up breaking up with me. And I felt like my whole world was falling apart. And there was a point where I was going through all the grief of that, and I mean, it was really tearing me up and really dealing with me. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about, but just really shook me to my core. And there was a point in there, somewhere in there, just a little moment of realization, I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit, where I pulled up and said, wait a second, I don't think any relationship with any human being should have this kind of power in my life that it could just destroy my life. I don't think I was, why am I putting her in this position to where if she doesn't make me happy, if she doesn't do it, then it all goes down. I think that's supposed to be God. God's supposed to be the tent pole holding the whole tent up here. But I had put this other human being in that place. I put another human being in that position. I needed to make room for God. I needed to find a way for God to be in that place and filling that part of my heart, letting him be in charge and letting him fulfill me, letting him fill all those empty places in my life. I realized a lot of the problems in these relationships, I was trying to get this other person to be my source of joy and happiness. I'm trying to get this other person to tell me that I'm amazing so I can think that I'm amazing. I'm trying to get this other person to do all these things. I'm supposed to be getting that from God. Right. And as Ted was pointing out, if I'm getting those things from God and I'm receiving that, then I'm whole, then I'm complete, then I have something I can actually give to another human being rather than using them. Do y'all know what I'm saying? Am I making sense up here?
Yes.
One last point, and then we'll bring up our cleanup hitter, who's going to do an amazing job here. You have to ask yourself, are you willing to be alone? Are you willing to be alone? Some of us hate being alone worse than anything. And we have to ask ourselves, why is that? And if you figure, if I sound like I know what I'm talking about, y'all know where I'm coming from, how I figure these things out. But sometimes being alone with ourselves and our own thoughts, there's nothing else to drown out. And then we have to face, again, we're back to that thing of having to face reality and deal with the truth and be that hitting us in the face. And we want to hurry up and get into a relationship because we are depending on that other human being. Instead of depending on God. If you're not prepared to be alone at all, then being in a relationship, you're putting that other person in a position where only God should belong. Yes. The Christian life is about moving on. You've gone through a breakthrough. You've gone through, you lost a job. You lost a family member. Whatever. I'm not telling you not to grieve. I loved everything Matt was saying about grieving. It's absolutely right. I'm saying face that, grieve it, deal with it, and have an eye to move on. Here's our closing verse here. And this is a continuation of what we were just reading. This is Paul saying, here's the one thing I do. I forget what is behind me. I push hard toward what is ahead of me. I move on towards the goal to win the prize. God has appointed me to win it. The heavenly prize is Christ Jesus himself, right? See, that's where we're putting him in that position. See, you thought I made that up. It's in the Bible. All of us who are grown up in the faith should see things that way. Maybe you think differently about some, whatever. But God will make it clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already reached.
Yes.
You've already learned some lessons. You've already gotten some stuff under your experience there where you've learned about it. Live up to those things. Learn from your mistakes, and allow God to be that number one spot in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. We love you.
Come on.